Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us at the second day of Ladenburg Healthcare Conference. Next presenter is Zymeworks, and from the company, we have the president and CEO, Ali Tahrani. Ali, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate the time. I will turn it to you for your presentation, and if the time allows, I'll ask a couple of questions at the end. Looking forward to your presentation. Please take it away.
Great. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. As just mentioned, my name is Ali Tahrani. I'm the president and CEO of Zymeworks. To start, I want to say a thank you to the Ladenburg team for organizing and hosting this conference. To start out, I want to draw your attention to the legal disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements. And with that behind us, let's get started. Many of you might be familiar with us. For those that are not, just as a way of a brief introduction to Zymeworks, we are a clinical stage company with clinical and preclinical pipelines supported by a proprietary research engine that is anchored in our protein modeling and engineering core competency. Our lead clinical program, zanidatamab, is a phase 3 ready asset on track for its first BLA submission in 2022. And our research engine and platforms have been validated through several partnerships. These partnerships include the likes of Eli Lilly, Celgene BMS, and Exelixis, which most recently have advanced programs into clinical studies alongside the likes of Merck, Daiichi Sankyo, J&J, GSK, Leo, and BeiGene that have gained access to our platforms for the research and development of multi-specific antibodies and bispecific antibodies as they develop and will go forward. Key about these partnerships is that they're all non-exclusive, that we have received upfront payments in terms of tech access fee, and we're eligible to receive success payments, both in terms of preclinical, clinical commercialization, as these assets are built and move forward. And on top of that, we're eligible to receive royalties. Now, aside from Eli Lilly, BMS, Celgene, and Exelixis, we expect one or more of the other ones to also enter the clinic this year and definitely in the years to come. My goal for today is to provide an update on our corporate priorities that we communicated earlier this year, namely for our lead program, zanidatamab, and of course, for our second clinical program, ZW49, along with our preclinical pipeline and platforms, which I will discuss towards the end of my presentation. Starting with Zani, here you see our clinical development plan for Zani, zanidatamab, formerly known as ZW25. In short, the takeaway is that we're making great progress across all of our objectives. And before I jump into specific details, I just wanted to highlight some of the highlights as refreshers for those of you that may have not stayed with the story in the recent months. Some of the key things to call out include the fact that we've seen benefit across multiple different tumor types, multiple HER2-expressing tumor types with Zani, both in terms of monotherapy and combination with chemo and other agents. And more specifically, earlier this year in January, we shared data in biliary tract cancer and GEA for zanidatamab plus or minus chemo that showed very promising and encouraging anti-tumor activity and durability. I will showcase some of that a little bit later in the presentation. Along the way, we've also had regular interactions and communications with the US FDA. We communicated that we had received breakthrough designation in second-line BTC. We have communicated in the past that we have fast-track designation both in BTC and GEA and orphan drug designation also in these indications alongside ovarian cancer, and that we're on track to share data from a number of very important phase 2 trials that are ongoing, both in terms of frontline GEA and frontline breast cancer along with the start of our phase three, which is on track to start in the latter parts of this year. Now, jumping into the specifics, when it comes to the very top and looking at biliary tract cancer, as I mentioned before, we have initiated a pivotal phase two trial. We are on track to complete enrollment and submit our BLA application in 2022, which puts us in position to graduate from a clinical stage company to a commercial stage company shortly thereafter. Right below that, what you see in the orange line is also that we've started the safety lead-in into the pivotal first-line BTC confirmatory study, which we hope to provide additional updates later in the year. Then beyond that, what I would like to talk about today is our activity in GEA and breast cancer, along with some of the things that can be expected over the course of 2022. More specifically in GEA and breast, there are going to be four data readouts in the near-term horizon, two of which will be authored by us, and the other two will be authored by our partner, BeiGene. The very first one, which will be authored by us, is the phase two study looking at zanidatamab plus chemo in first-line gastroesophageal adenocarcinoma. The data is on track and ready for presentation at the upcoming ESMO conference in September. Not too long after that, we're also on track with our partner BeiGene to share the combination of zanidatamab plus BeiGene's anti-PD-1, known as tezoluzumab, plus chemo in the frontline setting as well. So again, at ESMO, we will be sharing what we call the doublet data in the frontline setting. And shortly thereafter, our partner, BeiGene, is on track to share the triplet data. And this is really meant to cement our position and Zani's position as a foundational drug in first-line GEA HER2-positive cancers. The standard of care in this area is Herceptin plus chemo, which we believe we are on track to demonstrate better anti-tumor activity and durability, which will first be demonstrated by you to you at ESMO in this coming September. Beyond that, there are two more data readouts in breast cancer. We will be authoring and presenting data at this year's San Antonio Breast Cancer Conference for zanidatamab plus chemo in late-line breast cancer. This will be approximately 20 to 35 patients that will showcase the combination of Zani plus chemo in patients that have become resistant refractory to other HER2-targeted agents, including Herceptin and Perjeta, and others that have been approved since. Following that, we're very excited to present data with our partner BeiGene in the first line setting, looking at, again, the combination of zanidatamab plus chemo. This study is underway, and our objective is to showcase the power of zanidatamab in the early line settings, which will also be in line with the data that we intend to show in the frontline gastric setting. So these two data sets, both in the frontline settings between GEA and breast cancer, will essentially showcase the unique advantages and the mechanism of action of Zani in the early line settings in terms of receptor blockade, in terms of signal blockade, in terms of internalization, and ultimately defeating the cancer cells. Now, as a first indication of data and in terms of the confidence that has been developed in moving into the frontline GEA setting, and of course, to set the stage for the data that is coming up at ESMO in September of this year, what you're looking at here is the data that we shared in January of this year in late line GEA. To give you a little bit of what you're looking at here, each bar represents a patient, and every time a bar goes down, that represents anti-tumor activity. On the x-axis, hopefully it's visible on your screens, you see the letters T under each patient. And what that is meant to signify is that these patients have received Herceptin plus chemo as their standard of care and are no longer benefiting from it or have become resistant or refractory to it. So truly, these patients represent that late-line GEA setting. And then below it, you have the IHC and the FISH status, which the takeaway is that this is a very heterogeneous patient population, anywhere from 1+ patients to FISH negative patients. The main takeaway here is the response rate seen on the upper right-hand side, which in these 24 patients is 54%. As a point of reference, Herceptin plus chemo in the frontline setting generates a response rate of 47% with a duration of approximately 6.7 months. Our data here shows that we have surpassed that in the late line setting. So by having a 54% response rate in the late line setting, we're very enthusiastic about seeing what that number could change to as we move up to the frontline setting, which is the data you will see at ESMO of this year. Looking at the duration of response, again, the data is very encouraging here. On the x-axis, you see the number of months the patients have been receiving benefit. And you can see that just over half of our patients have crossed the 6-month line. And of those, anywhere you see an arrowhead, those patients were active at the time of this data cut. So very encouraging to see that at the time of this data cut back in January, the duration of response appears to be along the lines of 8.9 months or approximately 9 months, which again is very encouraging as compared to the frontline data or the standard of care of Herceptin plus chemo. So now looking into 2022, we're really excited to talk about the data sets that will be coming out and further corroborating and validating the position of zanidatamab as a foundational drug in HER2-positive cancers. Namely, what we are on target to share in 2022 include the data in combination with Pfizer CDK4/6 inhibitor in hormone-responsive breast cancer patients, along with data from our combining zanidatamab with ALX's anti-CD47 blocker, ALX-148. And then there will be additional studies that will kick off at some point this year, which could have initial readouts in middle of next year for medical conferences that are coming. So all in all, what the takeaway in terms of our strategy for developing Zani comes down to this. We believe with biliary tract cancer, we're on track to have a faster market strategy and get an initial label such that, especially as a monotherapy, such that investigators, physicians, and doctors become familiar with the drug, use the drug on or off label. And it also creates the opportunity for compendia listings. And then with our GEA and breast cancer studies, we really want to go head to head against Herceptin as a foundational drug, plus or minus chemo or plus or minus other agents, and really cement the idea that anywhere Herceptin has been used or is thought of being used, Zani should be used instead as that next generation best-in-class version. And then with our studies in colorectal cancer and other tumor types, we're really looking at expanding and diversifying into areas of unmet need and areas where right now there are no targeted HER2 therapies. So looking back at what I shared in the beginning, which is our priorities, we are on track to deliver on all of our priorities for zanidatamab. And now I want to quickly focus on ZW49 before moving on to a quick update on our pipelines and platforms. As a refresher, ZW49, our second clinical asset, the backbone antibody is the same as zanidatamab, and the linker is a proprietary cleavable linker that we've utilized, and the payload is an auristatin analog of the MMAE class, or close to the MMAE class, which makes it a microtubulin inhibitor. This asset is currently in phase one dose escalation. This asset has had initial cohort expansion started, so we can better study the anti-tumor activity and the benefit of that, this asset in specific tumor types such as breast cancer, such as gastric cancer, and a basket of other tumor types. And our objective is to define the recommended phase two dose by the end of this year, and then release all of our data at the nearest upcoming medical conference and go from there in terms of more defined cohort expansions and phase two studies. Now, very quickly, looking at our partnerships and platforms, as I mentioned before, we expect others other than Eli Lilly, BMS, and Exelixis to enter the clinic before the end of this year, and most certainly in the next year and the years to come. As I mentioned before, we stand to receive close to $9 billion in potential success milestones. And on top of that, there are royalties that increase the potential benefit to Zymeworks beyond that. In terms of our platforms, this year at AACR, we introduced the world to our fourth platform known as PRTECT. This technology really is meant to showcase our ability to develop drugs and therapeutics based on the concept of conditional activation and masking. And this is a multi-specific antibody that also showcases our ability to utilize our core competencies in protein modeling and engineering to generate next generation platforms. We presented a poster at AACR this year for those that are interested, and that poster can be found at our website. So all in all, with all of our platforms and capabilities, we believe we're on track to really put the finishing touches on a fully integrated drug development engine that puts us in a position to generate ideas, to generate proof of concept molecules, to iterate and engineer these to really become fit for purpose en route to developing a very deep pipeline of preclinical assets and clinical programs that ultimately add to our commercial benefit and return on investment. All along, our capabilities and our technologies have been anchored in our capabilities and our core competencies in protein engineering and modeling, which along the way over the years, we expanded to include antibody generation and the ability to add ADCs and antibody drug conjugates and other drug conjugates in the mix. So with that said, I'm coming to the end of my presentation where we discussed zanidatamab and ZW49 and a brief look at some of our other platforms. And what I want to do is take a second to provide an opportunity for questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the great presentation. And this really helps how you position the companies. I would really like to get a better sense of the ADC bispecific platform. How do you differentiate as bispecifics as well as ADCs? We have seen remarkable developments in the recent years. So if you could provide some color on how Zymeworks utilizes its platform and how do you differentiate from this highly competitive landscape of ADC and bispecifics?
So in the HER2 space, essentially the majority of anti-HER2 ADCs are monospecific. They're for the most part just trastuzumab or Herceptin or a derivative of Herceptin that someone has utilized a linker or and a payload to develop an ADC. In our case, the backbone antibody to ZW49 is the same as ZW25. So it's a biparatopic antibody binding to two different epitopes of HER2. What we've demonstrated with ZW25 zanidatamab, especially in some of the past presentations at various conferences, is that the biparatopic nature, the unique binding geometry, results in increased internalization. And that increased internalization ultimately benefits ZW49 in delivering more payload into the tumor microenvironment for the destruction of the tumor cells. So ZW49 can really be thought of as a very specific cytotoxic delivery mechanism into the tumor environment with, you know, lower bystander effect as compared to others. And in terms of other distinctive advantages, the cleavable linker that is proprietary to us alongside the auristatin analog that is proprietary to us gives us the opportunity to benefit from a unique mechanism of action and a differentiated safety profile, which we discussed back in January of this year.
Thank you, Ali. I also would be very curious to learn about the PROTAC platform. What would be the, I guess, initial targets or indications that you plan to utilize this platform for?
We have not discussed specifics about that at this time. We are working on a number of different programs, and we hope to share additional details certainly next year. But suffice it to say that our initial points of interest will be in oncology, and then beyond that, we will look at expanding as appropriate and as justified into other areas.
And just touching on the Zani commercial efforts, have you started commercial efforts? What does it look like? Have you, how many sales personnel are you planning to hire? And when would we see some commercial efforts from the company?
Well, as previously press released, our commercial effort started with promoting James Pryor to Chief Commercial Officer. And since then, we've made a number of senior and executive level hires in our commercial group. We are naturally preparing for the completion of enrollment in our pivotal trial for BTC and the BLA submission utilizing our breakthrough designation. So we are ramping up for that graduation to a commercial stage company on all levels, on from a key personnel to resources to infrastructure. And again, I look forward to providing additional updates as we go towards the end of the year.
My last question will be on the partnership front. You have a standout, impressive partnership pipeline, and you mentioned the milestone payments that you might be expecting. I am curious to get a better sense of the perhaps the catalyst in the near term, like next 6 to 12 months, driven by those partnerships. What are we looking at? What are the major catalysts that we should keep an eye on?
The things to keep an eye on are naturally the new people, new partners going into the clinic and existing partners moving programs to the next stage of clinical studies. So right now we have 3 partners in phase 1 between Eli Lilly, BMS, and Exelixis, and we expect those that are in the preclinical development to also start entering the clinic. So essentially all the bars on this slide should be moving forward respectively over time.
Thank you so much for the insight and your presentation, Ali. We much appreciate your time and look forward to the catalysts and data readouts.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.